Hey, everyone, back again. Today I want to talk about probably the most famous philosophical dilemma ever devised, and that is the trolley problem. Brought into public consciousness by Judith Jarvis Thompson, but really first devised by Philippa Foot. And I'm going to talk about the gender dynamic here. Like, why do we never say Thompson's trolley problem? Why do we always say, like, Kant's categorical imperative, you know? How does sexism actually play into the way that we don't attribute specific credit to Thompson and Foote, to women, in constructing probably the most famous philosophical dilemma of all time? But if you're new here, hi, I'm David. I explain philosophical concepts and ideas and texts in ways to make them accessible to you. So if you're new, you can subscribe and see videos I release every single week, sometimes twice a week. You can sometimes see the video itself if you're listening to this as a podcast. Or if you found this as a YouTube video, you're going to be able to find it just as a podcast on pretty much any podcast platform under all the same names. If you'd prefer to just listen to it, you can follow me on other platforms, Instagram and all such things in the description. Go and check that out. You can help me out by liking, sharing, subscribing. If you feel like helping me out monetarily, don't. Instead, contribute to one of the organizations I've listed below that are doing work to get resources to Palestinians now who are experiencing absolute brutal violence from the Israeli regime. So if you can, please consider donating to one of those organizations below. And yeah, let's jump into the trolley problem. So I just think, I think sexism is just at the forefront of even our public consciousness about this problem, in that I bet many of you didn't know that it was two women who came up with this idea, yet you could probably recite all of the famous philosophical ideas that have come into fruition by men. And they're valid too. I love all that stuff. But we have to really account for, like, why don't we call this the Thompson trolley problem or the Foote Thompson trolley problem, even though it was two women who devised this. But the trolley problem essentially is this, for those of you that don't know. There's a train careening down the tracks, it's out of control, and it is en route to run over five people who some evil villain has chained to the railway tracks. And you're a bystander, you're there and you see what's about to happen, that this train is going to run in and kill these people. And so you are given an option in that moment. You can pull a lever and you can change the train's trajectory onto another set of tracks where there's only one person attached to that track. And if you pull it, then you guarantee that that one person will die instead of five. Now there are many different ways that this trolley problem has been framed. There are many different scenarios, but I'm using this one as just the most basic one. And you might be thinking, like, if you don't know this, like, what? Of course it's better if one person dies as opposed to five. Like, that's a better scenario. Clearly, that is a better scenario. But that's not really the point of the trolley problem. It extends far beyond what would be quote-unquote better, and instead considers things like culpability, about guilt, about moral responsibility, and so on. So if you pull the lever, you are killing one person, whereas if you do nothing, then five people will just die. Now, one of the fundamental questions when faced with this problem is, should that person be held accountable for pulling the lever and killing somebody? Because that is what they're doing. They are making a choice that somebody dies. They are putting themselves in a position to determine that somebody must die in that moment. And you know, it might seem like, no, of course not. No one would hold them accountable. No one would hold them accountable. But we must extend this far beyond just this hypothetical problem, the trolley problem, and consider the ways in which this is often used to justify really horrendous acts. For example, Alan Dershowitz has come out and argued, written articles about this, that it is okay and it should be morally permissible to torture people if it means that you will get information from them that will save others. And you might think, well, yeah, I mean, that's, of course, it would be better to torture someone who is culpable, who has information, who is likely part of a conspiracy or trying to murder people. It is okay to torture them to attain this end, that is, to save others. But what is hidden within this very belief is that the ends justify the means, which, okay, maybe they do. But what about all those cases in which the torture did not actually result in saving people's lives, where somebody was just tortured and they were then able to give nothing because they actually had no part in it? In such situations, suddenly the trolley problem goes away. Suddenly people aren't concerned about the moral applicability of this, especially in cases when the person is racialized, when they're branded as a terrorist. Then their life just doesn't even matter. Then, of course, it would have been worth it in the end, or it was worth it in the end, where this case will probably actually just disappear into the military-industrial complex's endless repository of violence that it has inflicted against so many people in the Middle East under the pretense that they're trying to save people. So, but even in those cases where torture results in people's lives being saved, we have to ask, how do we actually account for something like power in such a situation? So to think about this, we can think of the United States as dropping 2 atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945 to end the war with Japan, killing 200,000 people. Now the calculus goes like this, or the justification goes like this. By killing 200,000 civilians, maybe more like 250,000 civilians, and causing innumerable health defects for potentially generations to come, including a whole slew of other horrible effects, the justification is that doing so saved countless more people. If a war had been drawn out, would have saved so many more soldiers than if the war had been drawn out. And someone might hear this and think, ah, yeah, you know, it's better that they killed 200,000 civilians than potentially 500,000 civilians, than potentially maybe 500,000 soldiers, or insert any number you want there. Now we must ask, I wonder in this case, all those people who are so willing to accept that idea, that it is morally permissible to murder civilians, you know, to save others, I wonder if they would be so willing to adopt that line of argument if Japan had been the one with nuclear weapons and dropped them on New York, on Austin, Texas, you know, on LA, and effectively ended the war. If the US would have been like, yeah, you know, you did it, you're right, yeah, we'll stop, it's all good. We know the trolley problem, we're very familiar with that. This is a better outcome than a prolonged war. So good. Thanks, Japan, for doing this. No reparations. We don't need anything. We're good. And if you're listening to this and you think, I don't think the U.S. would have responded that way, then we have to ask, like, when we use the trolley problem to justify horrendous things, you know, we're killing fewer people to save more people, we have to ask whether or not we are truly seeing things in equal terms. Because in the case of Japan and the US, Japanese lives were weighed less than American lives. And so it wasn't so simple as saying as though there's like a one-to-one ratio between the two, because we know full well that had the reverse been the case, we would not have seen this use of this trolley problem. Like, oh, it was part of the calculation to make sure fewer people died. I don't think we would have seen that. Maybe we would have. Maybe all US officials would have just bowed down to Japan and been like, yep, good, nice, yeah. But you let me know. Do you think that's the case? But the trolley problem extends to so many different fields. There are so many different questions. I won't go into all of them now. The other one, specifically relating to Judith Jarvis Thompson, is her argument in a defense of abortion, in which she says or argues that somebody's right to bodily autonomy trumps that of the quote-unquote right of a fetus to life. That is because a living person's right to their bodies is greater than that of a person who is dependent upon that parent's body. Now, in this case, the trolley problem would suggest that it is better to embrace bodily autonomy than to permit a life to live. Now, Thompson's point here is to say that nobody should be held accountable by law if they choose to exercise their bodily autonomy. That is, all laws, in the proper Kantian way, all laws should be constructed by treating every single human as an ends in themselves, not as a means to an end, which means that we cannot reduce people to the status of just breeders, women or other people who can give birth, to the status of breeders, where their lives are less valuable than a baby that is inside of them. So Thompson's point here, like with the trolley problem, is that it would be absurd to hold somebody accountable for saving five people by pulling the lever and then killing one. You know, they don't want to do this, they're forced to. Just like nobody should be held accountable for embracing their own bodily autonomy and freedom, and they shouldn't be held accountable if they do that. So this is one of the other really uses of the trolley problem, even though it doesn't map on entirely. But I'd love to know what you think. Like, am I right in saying that maybe the US wouldn't have been so gung-ho with the whole, oh, kill a bunch of people to save a bunch more, if it had been their people? You know, would they? I don't know. You let me know. And the connection with Judith Jarvis Thompson's A Defense of Abortion, I think that these things do resonate with one another, though they don't map on entirely. But in any case, like, the applicability of the trolley problem extends far beyond these examples. It would take hours and hours to go through all of them, all of the other moral implications of this idea. And yeah, I'd love to know. Add other ones in the comments. I'd love to see them. It'd be nice if we had a little repository of different scenarios and different applications of this idea. But I'd love to know what you have to say. If there's anything I got wrong, anything I excluded, I'd love to hear about it. Yeah. On that note, take care.